And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Ruskin and Mickey Brennan here with you as always. And Davey, an eventful weekend between all the things that were going on and with the weather. It's been wild out there. It's wild at the minute. So we may have little glitches with the internet. There may be a few gremlins. There might be a few gaps because there seems to be a little bit of a delay every so often.
Yeah, but look, thankfully we didn't get as bad as what Leitrim Village got it earlier on with the tornado. Although I don't know about you, Mickey, at the minute it sounds like there's a bit of a tornado outside. So we'll do our best to hopefully keep it going here until the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's again to be. I'm wondering if this weather is going to continue on into January, February, and March, and will we have a windy Allianz Football League like we did a couple of years ago? And maybe then at that stage, Davey, if we do. Again, I'm preempting something here. Maybe I'll be able to fight with you over the timing of the regional championship because you think it should be played after Christmas. And we'll have to wait and see what the weather is like after Christmas. It wasn't this bad a few weeks ago when the regional championship was played. But yeah, it's all to be seen after Christmas. And of course, at that stage, Meath will be in full flight. And we're going to start off with the Meath team. So we are, Davey. Meath went down to Cork. They travelled down to Cork on Saturday morning for a charity game down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It was against Cork and it was the Teddy McCarthy Memorial game. And Colm O'Rourke, when he was asked about it, you know, we were talking to him ourselves last week and he says, like, it was a no-brainer. They had to go down. The history between Meath and Cork and, of course, between Teddy McCarthy and the Meath teams of yesteryear, they were always going to go down and play that game.
Yeah, Mickey, and it was a good opportunity for Colm to utilise his, I suppose, his rookie squad as well at the moment. There's quite a few players who, you know, aren't around for different reasons at the moment. Some are injured, some are coming back late. And he's brought in five or six new recruits, who some of whom we've seen, obviously, on Monday night in the game against the regional All-Stars. And he brought in the likes of Brian O'Reilly, Carl Finnegan for game time. Conor Farrelly came on as well late in the piece. Mark Coffey, fellas like that all played against Cork. It was a Cork team that was quite experienced, it has to be said. You know, some really good household names, if you like, that were playing. I think they had seven of the team that started last year's All-Ireland quarter-final playing. So obviously the onus on them down there in a game like that was to go a little bit stronger, whereas Meath, I suppose, one way they probably would have liked to have a few more of their household names playing. They just didn't. And Cork were worthy winners in the end. It was a few interesting points from a Meath standpoint, Mickey. I think, obviously, Ronan Jones is going to be the new captain. Matthew Costello, the new vice-captain. And Ronan Jones was playing at centre-back and really excelled. Played brilliantly well. And there's doubts about Paul Ricardin, whether or not he's going to come back into the Meath fold at all. So that number six jersey could be potentially something that Colm is looking at and maybe having Ronan Jones top of mind for that. Jack Flynn did well, got a goal and a point. Aaron Lynch played really well, got 4 points, three from play and a mark. So decent points to pick from it. And as I said, there was debuts for the likes of Carl Finnegan, Brian O'Reilly, Conor Farrelly, fellas like that. So good news all in all. And we know about some the injury layoffs that we have at the moment with the likes of Ronan Ryan, Carl Hickey, Adam O'Neill is still out. You've got, we don't know about Paul Ricardin and Killian O'Sullivan, obviously, and Donald Keoghan is still coming back, you know, and Keith Curtis also was part of the matchday panel. He's coming back as a result of their extended year with Rakeni. So a decent exercise. And I think, listen, one that you can't really pick too much from Mickey, but at the same time, I think Colm will have been happy to have used the two games in the last week to get a better look at some of the fringe players.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, it's an injury-stricken team. And for other reasons as well, other lads weren't able to make it down. It finished Cork 3-12, Meath 1-9. The team that started for Meath on the day was Sean Brennan from Dundry, Niall Murphy from Corraha, Michael Flood from St. Bridget's, Michael Murphy from St. Peter's and Boyne, Kieran Caulfield from Trim, Ronan Jones, as you mentioned already, from St. Peter's and Boyne, Sean Coffey from Ballinabrachy, Jack Flynn from Rathaut, Jack Kinlock from St. Peter's and Boyne, Dahi McGowan from Rathaut, Rory Kinsler from Dunshaughlin, Jack O'Connor from Corraha, Aaron Lynch from Trim, Matty Costello from Dunshaughlin and Owen Frame from Summerhill. And the extended panel was Harry Hogan from Longwood, James Conlon from St. Colum Kills, Dermot Moriarty from Corraha, Mark Coffey from Ballinabrachy, John O'Regan from Screen, Conor Farley from Waterston, Brian O'Reilly from St. Michael's, Keith Curtis from Rakenny, and Adam McDonald from Summerhill. So, like, we're starting to see the bare bones of what's going to be part of the panel, because these lads have been there for the last number of weeks. Now, obviously, there's going to be massive changes come the Allianz Football League Division 2 when it comes around after Christmas at the end of January, Davey. But, you know, with the fact that Meath are already in the All-Ireland Championship, do you see Colm doing something similar to what he did last year? Maybe not as, not as harshly, but a lot of players are going to get their chance throughout that league, let's just say. But maybe it won't be the massive number of players who got game time last year. I'd say he'll want to be getting a settled team with a couple of, you know, players getting little bits of game time here and there.
Yeah, I'd agree, Mickey. I don't think you're going to see anything like the array of changes like we've seen probably last year throughout the course of the National Football League. At the same time, it sounds like we have quite a few injury concerns mounting up already. So potentially that could play havoc with Colm's plans. But we know there's going to be an issue with the full back, with Ronan Ryan probably likely to miss the first two or three games at least of the league. We talked about Paul Carnan potentially not been there, so maybe Ronan Jones might have to slot in, which certainly brings up, you know, some spaces in and around the middle third, which could be, I won't say a problem position for Meath, but certainly an opportunist position for some of the players who have come in, the likes of Jack Kinlock, Dahi McGowan to really nail down a place, Jack Flynn to continue his good form from last year, and fellas like that. You know, Conor Gray obviously still has to come back too. So there's loads of options, but I do think he'll use the O'Byrne Cup. There's probably only going to be a couple of games in the O'Byrne Cup really for Meath, Mickey, by the sounds of it. And then it's bang into the Fermanagh game at the end of January. So it's a little over a month away, really. So they've really ramped things up, and they'll obviously want to target the league for different reasons. Last year, the league was so important to try and get into the All-Ireland. This year, I think it's more important that we try and kick on and challenge at the top end of it. And we know how important our four home games are going to be in that. So a settled squad naturally would be very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that Colm will want to do. It'll be to cement himself in Division 2 at the higher end of it. And obviously, we will be looking for promotion and stuff like that. But to come to the end of the season and rather be fighting relegation, rather be fighting for promotion into Division 1. And it is going to be slow, steady progress for this Meath team. It's not going to happen overnight. So, you know, if you were to get promoted from Division 2, that would be like really speeding up the progress that this team should be making. I think, and we'll look at this maybe later on towards the end of the year, I think we need to be aiming for the top four in Division 2 and avoiding the bottom end of that Division 2 table.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think top four is realistic, Mickey. I think anything more than that would be bonus territory, to be fair. You know, we've got some really tricky away ties in particular. I'm thinking about Donegal and Armagh that spring to mind, and our record in Cavan is woeful. I don't think Meath have won a National League game in Cavan for something like 60 years. So that's obviously going to be a really tricky assignment. So it means your home games are going to be hugely important. And naturally, first of all, you want to get yourself safe and then try and see where you can get to. But yeah, I do think that would accelerate the progress. But at the same time, I don't think people can expect too much from such a young team at this early juncture. It is just the beginning of a year or two. So we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Davey, you touched on it as well at the top of the podcast there when you came in. Ronan Jones, the new Meath captain, and Matty Costello will be the vice captain for 2024. And Colm has shuffled the deck a little bit on that. And I suppose you know, it was Donal Keoghan that was the captain of his team, and it's, he doesn't need a captain's title to play a captain's role anyway.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And to be fair to Ronan Jones, he's the next longest serving member after Donal Keoghan. So I think it's a really good fit, and I think he deserves it. He was outstanding last year. And he is certainly a real leader. So I think he'll really excel. And I'm delighted for Matty Costello as well. He's still one of the young players, actually. And he's turned into a natural leader as well for me. And I think he'll go places and certainly a future Meath captain. So I believe it was all with Kyogi's blessing in many ways, you know. He was more than happy to hand over the baton to the lads. But as you say, he'll be just as influential as he always has been. I wouldn't pay too much heed to the fact that Kyogi has handed the invisible armband, if you like, across to Ronan Jones. It won't count for much, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll give a full update on the Meath panel in a couple of weeks' time. We've got a whole load of Loyal Royals podcasts coming your way over the next few weeks and over the Christmas time and over the Christmas period. And we will be doing an update on the Meath panel. This week, we will have our We Are Meath Junior A Team of the Year going out. And we'll have the We Are Meath Intermediate Team of the Year going out also. And then in the coming weeks, we'll have the Senior Team of the Year as well, the We Are Meath Senior Team. We'll have the Managerial Merry-Go-Round. We'll be updating you on that because there's lots happening on that at the moment. And we'll be doing a full review of 2023, all the championships, and of course, the Meath team. And looking forward 2024, where we will talk about that Meath panel. So all those podcasts to come your way on our Loyal Royals pods.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, Davey, so moving on with the podcast, we're going to look back at some results from the last week. I know there's been horrendous, but there has been games played. We have some under-19 football results, I think, and we may even have some under-19 or under-20 hurling results. Davey, you might have them for us.
Yeah, there was one football final which was a back game. You'll remember it was called off last week due to the pitches and unavailabilities and stuff. And that came in the under-19D football championship final, where Rakenny defeated the Knobber Kilmaine and Wood combination 2-9 to a goal and three in the end. And I think the scoreline probably flatters Rakenny a bit. They got two goals very late in that game. There wasn't much between the sides up to that point, but Rakenny stretched clear. Probably in hindsight, way too strong for this division. This was the bottom of the division at the under-19. And I think they had something like six or seven of the intermediate championship winning side. So, it probably was, you know, a step too much for the Kilmaine and Wood and Knobber combination. Who, interestingly enough, I don't like giving spoilers away, Mickey, but I know you touched on the managerial merry-go-round. And Sean Carlin, who actually managed that Knobber Kilmaine and Wood team, will be taking over Kilmaine and Wood senior team for next year. He, of course, managed Knobber to an intermediate a few years ago, and this year he was a coach or slash selector with Waterstown. So a very good appointment there for Kilmaine and Wood, and probably one of many that we're going to talk about next week on the managerial merry-go-round. But You did mention the hurling too. And the under-21 hurling final was down for decision in Dungannon on Saturday. And there was a bit of a shock victory in this game, Mickey. Kilmessan defeating Trim 15 points to 2 goals and 6. So a 3-point win for Kilmessan. And a bit of a turn-up for the Bucks there for everybody in concerned. What a victory for them. Great scenes of celebration in Kilmessan on Saturday night too. I know Jimmy's Jest, who features in her Instagram interactive, was part of the celebrations, and there was a tractor and all sorts. It looked like great crack over in Kilmessan, and I imagine the celebrations are still going strong as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. A massive win for Kilmessan in that under-21 final. And as you said, a turn up for the Brooks, a little bit of a shock, and maybe the I'd say Kilmessan was on wheels since beating Trim, their local rivals, in that under-21 final. But kudos to all the lads in Kilmessan, and we will come back to them later on. Davey, you're back.
Yeah, and one more game in the under-21B, which was played on Sunday. And it was a narrow, slender victory for Navan O'Matney's against Dunamore Ashburn. Navan O'Matney's won out by a goal and 11 to 2 goals and 6. So unfortunately for Dunamore Ashburn, coming up unstuck again. But they've had a fantastic year. But Navan O'Matney's getting a little bit of redemption for their intermediate final defeat to Kildare, winning an under-21 championship. And that bodes well for them looking ahead to next year, where they will be playing their trade again in the intermediate grade. Incidentally, they trailed by 5 points at halftime, 6 points to a point. Dunham Ashburn led at halftime. I'm sure wind probably played a factor, but now O'Matney scored a goal and 10 in the second half and won out in the end by 2 points.
Is that back-to-back for Navan O'Matney's?
It is. It is indeed, yeah.
Yeah, they're making great strides, and maybe it was a good idea for them to stay in intermediate championship for next season in the hurling, having lost the intermediate final. They did have the option to go up, but decided to stay in intermediate, and with all this young talent coming through, maybe it's the right thing to do for Navan O'Matney. So kudos to them. Great win in the under-21B hurling final. Davey, one other fixture that we need to talk about, I suppose, and it is, of course, heading over to the Camogie end of things, and we're going to go over to the Southeast Meath for Nafianna, because Nafianna are in Croke Park next Sunday, the 17th of December, and at 3 p.m. their slitter will be thrown in when they take on Clan Morris of Kerry in the All-Ireland Intermediate Camogie Final. And great, like, it's just been an unbelievable year for them. We all know the trials and tribulations of last week when they had to play two finals, two intermediate semi-finals in the space of 24 hours. And their Camogues got the better of English from Tyrone and went all the way to the final. And it's an amazing achievement for Nafianna. And the fact that they were going so well on both codes at the same time is testament to all the work that's been done in the club.
It does, yeah. And I think this is just rewards for too, for not just their endeavours in Camogie terms, Mickey, but what they've done in the football as well. And I think fittingly, you know, the week before Christmas, they're going to get the opportunity to play on the big stage in Croke Park at 3 o'clock next Sunday, which will be a fantastic occasion. And no doubt they'll bring an almighty crowd up, not just from the area of Enfield and Baconstown, but indeed from every other corner of Meath, hopefully, to support them. And listen, isn't it great that they've had, you could say, 2 weeks solid to prepare for one game, which is proper order, by the way, but I know they haven't had that luxury throughout the course of the campaign, so a little bit unusual in that respect, but I'm sure plenty of knocks and niggles and rest and recharge to recoup. But they'll be in good fettle and they'll be really confident. They've been outstanding, you know, and Moira Kirby in absolutely outstanding form as well at the moment. So you would think that they're really good fettle, and hopefully they can go and claim silverware and cap off the most remarkable of years.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, last Friday night, MGA, they held their sponsors' night, the awards night, over in the Castle Arch Hotel in Trim. And myself and yourself had the honour of being over there. And it was a fantastic evening organised by the Meath County Board. And a few really good awardees on the evening. You know, we got talking to a few of the lads that picked up awards and whatever. And, you know, don't think you could actually... argue the point with any of the winners on the evening, and I know they were all announced in advance, and we all knew them. But there was one in particular that was the Hall of Fame, who was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That was the only one we didn't know. But all in all, a great night over in Trim.
Yeah, really good, and it's fantastic. I suppose it's all about team accolades in many respects, but it's great to see. I think in particular, the likes of the referees been honoured, you know, Robbie Purfield there and Andy Smith, you know, two terrific referees. And I think they deserve a bit of credit too, because we spend a lot of time talking about referees and giving out about referees. But I think it's nice to honour them as well at the same time. And a few of our outstanding performers throughout the course of the year. And obviously, Reg Collier going into the Hall of Fame. He's the latest inductee. Kind of gave it away a bit because he was called up for the presentation for Rob's award, of course, a fellow St. Pat's man. So I think everybody at that point in time knew, apart from, I think, Red himself, who still didn't really realise that he was going to get it, but fantastic. And he spoke glowingly afterwards. I thought it was a fantastic speech when he took the mic and spoke with real passion and heart and was quite emotional at the end of it as well, which is great to see.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. And I was talking to somebody who was part of the organising committee, and they were saying that they had to get him over some way without giving it away. So that's why they had him up to present Rob with his award. But the Footballer of the Year award went to Donal Keoghan from Rakenny, the Meath Footballer of the Year. The Hurler of the Year went to Brendan McKeown from Kildare. Still didn't pick up that We Are Meath jersey, but he has plans for picking one up on the We Are Meath Team of the Year next year. The Young Footballer of the Year went to Adam McDonald from Summerhill. Young Hurler of the Year went to Kyle Ennis from Trim. And the Referee of the Year went to Andy Smith from Dunshaughlin. A brilliant, brilliant referee he is too. Most improved referee went to Robert Purfield from St. Pat's. It was a great night for St. Pat's overall. And Robert Purfield, another referee with a great future ahead of him. The Grounds of the Year went to Waterston. We were lucky enough to be in Waterston a few times this year for commentaries and matches, and they've done an amazing job over there. Club of the Year, not surprisingly, went to Kildare. We kind of flagged that one a long way out. Public Relations, the PRO of the Year, went to Bective for all their work on social media and letting clubs know of everything that was involved with their club this year. Brilliant from them. And the Hall of Fame Award, as Davey said, went to Pat Red Collier from St. Pat's. I suppose, Davey, just talking about Pat Collier, or Red Collier as he's fondly known, like a member of that 67 All-Ireland winning team, lost the final in 66. He was an ever-present fixture at right half-back on that Meath team of the 60s. And, you know, what a player he was. But, you know, we only get to see clips of him now, so we do, of what he did. But his speech, you mentioned it already, the passion and the emotion in it. And, you know, the honour, as he said, like to play for Meath, it was just... if you could bottle it.
Yeah, it was really, really infectious. And I think probably great to see for the likes of, I'm just going to say, Adam McDonald there, who's collecting the Young Player of the Year, and what it meant to the likes of Red to go on and represent Meath, but also what his club meant to him. I think that was the one thing that we took away from it, Mickey, when he was asked about what is great, his memory or achievement was. And I think he said winning intermediate with the Pats back in the day, you know, of all the things that he went on to achieve with County, it sort of all boils back to the grassroots at the club level. And that was really nice to hear. But he spoke brilliantly well, and great to see. You know, he's I'm sure he was a real character in the state. You hear these kind of tales from time to time about him and that. And it was really nice.
Yeah, I loved one of the comments that somebody made was that he wasn't the tallest man in the world. And he turned around and he says, "You don't have to be the tallest man in the world to topple a tree," or something like that. It was something to that effect. And it was so funny because I remember I was playing for Simonstown on a sports day back at, oh God, it must be 30 or 34 years ago. I was only 10 and I was chosen to go and play with the under-12s team. And there was a big fella, and it was funny, we were playing against Rakeni. It was this big fella, he was a red-haired fella. And I was 2 years out of my grade, and I was only tiny back then. And I was being brought on, and my manager said to me, "You're going to be marking the big red fella." And he was class. And I says, "I can't mark him, he'll kill me." And he says, "The bigger they are, the harder to fall, Mickey." And that was David Nolan's father, Nicky Nolan, said that to me. And I went out, and the first thing I did was absconded the poor lad. And it stuck with me. And then for Red Collier to say something similar, it was just, it gave it a bit more legs, I suppose.
Yeah, it was a great line, actually, a great line. It was quite hazy. I don't remember too much from Friday night, Mickey, but that was definitely one thing I recall, all right.
Yeah, after that, I don't recall much, so I don't. We did head off into
Gavin
for a few celebratory drinks ourselves, you know, kind of a half of a Christmas party for myself and Davey, but we will be having a proper one, I think, over the Christmas at some stage. So we might even let our listeners know about the night we go out.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, so Davey, it's time to move on to our lotto segment, and I'm sure that the PROs have been in contact with you, and if one wasn't, I'd say the rest of them were. I'd say Bective maybe forgot to get in contact with you this week.
Yeah, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, obviously, but a normal few have been on to me. First up is Gail Colum Kill. And would you believe for the third time this year, their lotto was won. Their numbers were 1, 9, 11 and 13. And the winner of the €3,450 jackpot went to Johnny Thornton. And he collects the jackpot. And they go again with €1,500 next Friday night, or next Thursday night, sorry, they start again. My own Cortland GFC are still going strong, but only just because on Friday night we had a mighty close shave. Our 17,000 jackpot wasn't won. The numbers were 3, 6, 19 and 29. One player had three numbers and her fourth number, she was waiting on 30 and 29 came out. So you can't get much closer than that, Mickey. But we gave away €500 instead to Ray Purfield, Linda Riley, Megan and Hannah O'Sullivan, Paul Doherty and Colm Geraghty. The latest Trolley Dash finalist was Margaret Moran. We have one more of those to pick out next Friday night, as well as the final being broadcast live on Friday night. at 10 p.m. on Facebook, and where we will also have 17,100 of a jackpot. And if it isn't won, we'll be giving away another 5 €100 as well. Navin O'Mahony's 6, 14, 29 and 32. Their numbers from last week, they had no jackpot winner, meaning they were left with three match three winners, who were Caoimhe Clinch, Amy Cunningham and Liz Gaffney. The next draw for them takes place on the 12th of December, and they've got a nice €14,450 jackpot. The next one up comes from Drumbarra, and they're doing a bit of a unique draw where you can win your Christmas din-dins and maybe their lotto as well. All entries between now and Christmas will be entered into a prize to win your Christmas dinner. The lucky winner will get their hands on a hamper stuffed with Christmas goodies, including turkey ham, Christmas pudding, mince pies, chocolates, gourmet crisps, a bottle of Budley Christmas. Their next draw, you simply have to enter their lotto to be in online, and it's worth €4,550 next week. And the results from last week, just quickly, €4,400 not won, 1, 13, 16 and 23 their numbers. 30-year winners were Mary Dardis, Brian Ford, Lisa and Sarah, the Brady Boys and Willie Arkin Sr. Dunchoplin are next in, and their results from last Monday night, 3,200 of a jackpot, 9, 10, 21 and 23 their numbers. They had no jackpot winner. One match three winner who collects €200, and that went to Robert Lyons. And the next draw takes place at €400. You can play it on Club Force. Walterstown, from the 3rd to the 12th, the numbers were 1, 10, 26, and 28. No jackpot winner. Two match three winners who were Eamon Brady and Rory and Ashley O'Dowd. They go again next week with €9,600. Manalvi, from Monday night last, 3, 8, 14 and 20 their numbers. No jackpot winner. €320 winners were Grace Bryan, Charles Gregory and Linda Rooney. They go again tomorrow night, Monday, where they've got €5,800. And you can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Clubforce app. Kilmainham are next in, and their results from Monday night last, the 4th of December, they had no winner either. 14, 19, 23 and 27. Meaning their next week's jackpot rolls on nicely to €10,200. They had five lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20. They were A. Brown, Lorraine Smith, David Dunnah, David Grimes and Grace Campbell. And next up is Minalty from the 4th of December. They had a €5,000 jackpot. The numbers were 8, 17, 21. Winner collected €200 was Will, Tom and Avery Govern. Special online prize, €50 went to Bino Cussin, and they go again tonight with €5,200. And I think the last one from me, Mickey, is from Dunamore Ashburn this week, and just waiting for their club's app to load. They had Jackie Fitzsimons, Niall Brendan, Doogie, Sean O'Connor and Ina Flanagan. They go once more tonight with €8,500.
Man, sorry if the gremlins got in there. You may have missed a couple of things that Davey said. I think on the Ashburn one especially, we didn't hear the numbers and whatever, but we might come back to that in just a moment. Centreton's Lotto last week on the 4th of December was not won. The Lotto's numbers drawn were 1, 4, 16 and 25. The 25-year-old winners were Ava Jane Ryan, Pat Smith from Kenstown, Nicola O'Grady, Frank McGarn and Pat Smith of Hastings. So that's why they had to put in the two areas that they were from, because the two Pat Smiths pulled out in the €25 winners. Next week's Lotto jackpot is €6,500. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week was not won. The jackpot was €5,500, if I'm not mistaken. And the numbers drawn were 5, 7, 11, and 21. It was from the 4th, Monday the 4th of December. And the lucky dip winners were Sean Donoghue, Bridget Curtis, Dolores Cullen, Breda Cunningham and Connor Shankey. So again, their lotto this week will be €5,600. And Simonson's lotto of €4,450 was not won last week. The lucky dip winners were Loretta O'Brien, Jack O'Donoghue and Mary O'Brien. The numbers drawn were 9, 16, 17 and 21. This week's lotto will be €4,500. And to play any of those lottos, go to any of their social media pages and you'll find the link there. Davey, you might just give us the Dunamore Ashburn result again.
Yeah, I'll do my best, Mickey. Sorry, you caught me off a little bit there. I have to go back. They had an €8,300 jackpot last weekend, and it wasn't one, meaning they move on to 8,500 tonight. The numbers from last week were 2, 5, 11, and 26. The match three winners were Miles Pryor, Valium McPhillips, Martina Kent, Jackie Fitzsimons, Niall and Brendan, Dougie, Sean O'Connor, and Ina Flanagan.
Brilliant. Time to move on then, Davey. We'll go to our Instagram interactive before the Gremlins really take over.
Yeah, and we'll start with Thomas Doyle. He said Crystal Palace getting absolutely robbed versus Liverpool.
Yeah, it's not a soccer podcast, but I did see that one, and I'd have to agree. I thought Liverpool were very, very poor, and the referee, like, letter of the law, maybe Jordan Ayew deserved to go, but it was the losing of the game for Crystal Palace.
Very much so. The next one in comes from Lucky to be Working, and he said, any players lazy on county or club games, call them Martial, lad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. United supporter here, and I'm sick of looking at him. He's a lazy, good for nothing. Well, we won't go any further with that, but yeah, for the money he's paid, it's a right pain in the behind.
Extra Time Sport is next up, and he said Minute Man William Chilly Farley is the new Blackhall Gales manager.
Oh, that's one for our managerial merry-go-round, so.
Absolutely. Next one up comes from Jack McConnell, and he says O'Mahony's back-to-back champs.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier on, back-to-back champs. Now O'Mahony's at under-20 level, and yeah, the future looks good for O'Mahony's at hurling level anyway.
Certainly does. Adam McDonald, the young player of the year, is in, and he said Sean Brennan is a very bad snorer.
He must have been rooming with him over the weekend, and I'm not going to comment on anybody snoring because I'm a bit of a snorer myself. Apparently, I don't know. I've never heard myself snoring, but apparently other people do.
Yeah. I'm the exact same, actually, Mickey. Must be a footballer thing, like all good footballers snore, apparently.
I'm like a train when I snore.
PS Tapes said Christmas pudding, what's the point?
Get off the airwaves, PS Tapes. Christmas pudding, if it's made properly, is absolutely amazing with a little bit of custard and a bit of brandy poured over it. What's he on about?
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Mickey. I love Christmas pudding, but we are in the minority because it did do a bit of a poll on it, and it does seem that there's more people that don't like Christmas pudding that do, sadly.
Yeah, well, it all depends on the Christmas pudding. It has to be a good soggy Christmas pudding for me now, so it does. I'm not a fan of Christmas cake, to be honest with you.
Yes, likewise, actually. Sean McDulty said Jimmy Jest's among the celebrations in Kilmessan as his nephew Sennin was on the team. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, you were talking about this already. Fill us in, Davey.
Yeah, I just seen a video, actually. Jimmy Jess had taken from last night when they came in the tractor and the trailer, and all the players are in the trailer. Jimmy Jess was there to film it. So it looked like great celebrations over in Kilmessan, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, 100%.
Brian Flynn said, listening to Colm O'Rourke yesterday, it sounds like quite a long injury list.
Yeah, it does. You mentioned that at the top of the podcast as well, that you mentioned a few names, and don't seem like a lengthy injury list at the moment. The physio will be busy over Christmas with Meath.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucky to be working, said Arsenal in the attic.
Yeah, Davey. He's had a chance. He's had a chance to go back to the top of the table, and he's blew it.
Did, yeah. Yeah. Look, still in a decent position, but very frustrating. Let's just say. Anyway, Conor Horan said Kilmessan under-21 win against Trim, and Kilmessan weren't expected to win at all. So there,
yeah,
you have it.
Brilliant win for Kilmessan, and yeah, that'll put a pep back in their step now, so it will get them one over the near neighbours in Trim.
Shane Mangan said Balnabrachy dodged some bullet.
Yeah, I think we know where this one is headed. It's all over social media now, so it is the manager's report from Newbridge, wasn't it? I think, in fairness, he deserves both of the parachutes.
Well, you could look at it that way, Mickey, or you could say that maybe Balnabrachy were on course to not just win a Meath championship, but win a Leinster championship had he not departed. So, listen, we can't simply comment, but I would have loved to have seen an exit letter like that coming from Balnabrachy, but I don't think so. Jack Walsh finishes up Instagram Interactive this week by just saying Davy's jacket with a pair of eyeballs as well.
Which jacket was that? Was that jacket you were wearing on Friday night? No.
No, I think it was Saturday. I think it was the long one, the beige.
This is the jacket that you wore to the races. Actually, I never called you out on that one, so I didn't, Davy. That was a real Del Boy jacket. I thought you were going to be selling. I thought you were going to be selling picture frames or something for Christmas out of that jacket if it opened up. Hell of a jacket. You looked like you'd fit into Only Fools and Horses any day.
I think I would too, Mickey. And listen, there are quite a few people out there that would think of me as a bit of a Del Boy, so maybe it fits the bill.
Well, this time next year, Rodney, we're going to be millionaires. I think we'll leave it on that, Davey. brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. Well, look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Mead podcast. Don't forget to check out our Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/We Are Mead. Whole host of podcasts coming your way between now and the end of the year. We have the Junior A and Intermediate Team of the Year going out this week. We have the Senior Team of the Year going out next week with the managerial merry-go-round and a review of 2023, both county and club, coming out as well over the Christmas. So do stay tuned to our social media for those. So remember, We Are Mead, why matters more.